Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Advanced Kayak Angler Podcast. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Kurt, what's up, dude?
Man, I got out fishing today for a few minutes.
Yeah. You still on them stripers, huh?
Yeah, today was pretty cool, man. Once I dialed in the retrieve, it was like the water's really cold right now. And it's just, but we're having a few warm days. So it's just the bite's just real sensitive and real particular. But once I got it dialed in, man, it was a fun day. I didn't have a lot of time, but I made the most of it.
Do you keep them and make tacos, or do you just release them?
You know, every once in a while I keep a couple. You know, honestly, I don't really keep the hybrids and the stripers so much because they're like a stock fish and there's not as many of them, but the white bass, I run into big white bass. So you can, you know, 2-3 white bass that are like 18 inches, 16 inches. That's enough for a few people to have a meal. So every once in a while I do, not all the time.
Yeah, I usually go crappie fishing every couple months. I need to go and fill up the freezer again. I haven't been in a while, but I want to let everybody know we've been running we're teamed up with the guys at Catch Products, boards, tracks. They have all kind of different parts for specific kayaks like the PA or the new Bonafide PWR. If you have any of those kayaks, go online, check them out, and whenever you buy something, you're going to buy their stuff because it's great anyways, and you need a board. Use code BKB5. Give you 5% off. Not a lot, but hey, it's better than nothing since you got to get that stuff anyways. And for everybody in this quarter, so January to the end of March, if you go on to January to the end of March. It's been a long day. January to the end of March. We're going to do a giveaway for a Catch board. So if you go on to Apple Podcast Reviews, you can go there, and at the end of the quarter, we'll choose one to do a giveaway. And wanted to give a shout out to Tommy Wing Fueled. He gave us he said, killer podcast, y'all. Keep it up. So appreciate y'all.
Awesome.
Yeah. So tonight, we did a show a while back. This before you jumped on with me, I did one with Dustin Nichols on Jackson Kayaks, and kind of wanted to, every year, especially this time of the year, kind of wanted to make an episode that going over each brand and all the different kayaks that they have, who they're tailored for, because if you're in any of these forums, especially this time of the year, people are asking every single question about new kayaks because, you know, a lot of people, it's still cold and they got cabin fever and they're ready to, you know, start thinking about spawn, pre-spawn, things like that, get out and fishing. So great time to talk about kayaks and to get your first kayak. If you need one and you're not somewhere where you can get to a dealer or you just really like fishing online, you can check them out. They sell all different kinds of kayaks, especially Hobies.
And they ship everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. And Kurt teamed up with them. And if you're in the north, anywhere in the southeast, come holler at the people at Dugout Bait and Tackle. They're in Marietta, Georgia. And not only am I on their team, but also our guest tonight. We appreciate him being on, Mr. Garrett Wade. How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? Good.
What's up? We were talking.
Hey, just one more thing about Dugout. Don't you guys have a pond to test kayaks in?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a pond.
So, I mean, if you're down there, I'm not on their team. I have no affiliation with them, but I mean, that's pretty cool to see. I mean, if you're a new person, you're trying to check out a different kayaks, like you're looking at a Hobie or you're looking at whatever else, whatever, you know, a new canoe,
Jackson, Old Town,
whatever they carry, you can actually hop in them. That's really awesome, man. I mean, that's, you don't have that a lot of places.
Yeah, I've seen
a couple places have pools, but like having a full size pond actually gives you enough room to move around and really test it out.
Yeah,
he needs to let people
drive, you know, actually get going. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, but if you watched any of Christine's Fisher's videos, she's been on the pond, and a bunch of other team members have. So go check them out, and they are absolute some of the best riggers in the country. And they have their own like new dash. It's the Dugout. They're the deal.
Yeah, the dash is pretty cool. It's not for me and how I fish, but if you want two up front, it's legit.
I wish if my trailer didn't suck so bad, I would have one. My trailer, I have to be able to do my. I have the Tim Percy ones, which are great with the H rail bar up front.
Yeah,
I have to do that so I can lay my lay both of them down. If not, I would have that one because.
Oh, you got something on top of your trailer?
Well, I got one of those stupid Yakima Easy Riders.
Yeah.
With the upper deck that is like ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Whoever designed that out in Washington State needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Freddie Mitchell had one of those, man, and it drove him nuts. That because it's so low. It is so low. Yeah.
I talked to so many people to have somebody like weld me one up or build some risers or something. And nobody wanted to take the liability of building risers for it. So right. I tried to go to muffler shops and everywhere else and nobody would do it. So right now I have them taking, I'm not trying to get into a show about my trailer. I love independent. That's one thing I will say that a lot of people build kayak trailers and they don't have on there that from the, I've had both a Rack and Roll and now the Easy Rider. Rack and Roll is awesome, but you can't put the bearings in the water, which is also stupid Yakima. And then the Easy Rider is awesome, but the bar is too low. But the independent suspension and it being light enough to where, especially the Rack and Roll, you can just, like if you get in a weird spot, like instead of jackknifing it, you can just pick that bitch up and move it over to the side. Like on the Rack and Roll. And the Easy Rider, I mean, if you're like a hoss, like one of y'all two, maybe you could do it, but it's like right over the edge of me being able to do it. But,
There's something exciting about being able to muscle that around, you know what I mean, and just move it around. There really is. I mean, if you've ever been in a tight parking situation or just a bad situation someplace where you get yourself, you know, locked in a parking lot.
Airbnb.
I've had it where someone parked on me at a boat ramp and it made it in such a way where I had to undo my trailer and pull it out and get it, you know, it was just ridiculous, you know, because someone insisted on parking in front of me, you know, it was just stupid. But yeah,
that's right. We'll do another show about boat at ramp etiquette for too long.
And I think every kayaker should have to take a class on boat ramp etiquette.
No. Shout out to Bailey and Justin Largen over at Kayak Fishing Weekly podcast. They did one not too long ago because I had thought about doing that show before, and then they beat us to it. And it's like, well, you don't really need to. But once the new of that one wears off, we'll do a show on it too. So. Shout out to them, though. Great podcast. But today we're talking about Hobie Kayaks like we talked about in the beginning. I'll go ahead and bring them up. I guess we'll start with the age-old debate of – or like 10-year-old debate of pedal or prop versus fin. Like what do y'all think the benefits of having a fin drive are, or a Mirage style penguin deal?
Being able to get in shallow water is probably one of the biggest deals.
Number one.
You know, I've got a lot of friends that have, you know, the prop drives and stuff, and they'll come down here to fish the coastal stuff. And in the winter we get a lot of low tides and they'll be out there with their drive up paddling around and I'm just flutter kicking along, you know, and I don't have to break out a paddle. That's probably one of the biggest differences. It works really well in grass. You know, the fin drive is pretty weedless. Or going over stumps, I can get speed going and then push my pedals and flip it up and just whoosh, cruise right over something.
Oh, rolling the dice.
Yeah,
I can say with my pro angler, like, I think it depends on where you fish. Like you're saying, down a coast, you know, going shallow tide, that could be a benefit. There in Texas, there's a lot of different places where fin drives kind of lend themselves to be the better drive. And I get up north, a lot of people, maybe they like the autopilots, things like that. I know where I live, the water is so diverse here in Alabama that I take my pro angler into the most ridiculous creeks you've ever seen that a pro angler should not go. I still have a 180 because I'm pretty hard on my gear and I've always been afraid to break something, spend that extra $1,000 on a 360. But I'm telling you, because before that, I had an Old Town, and for my money, and we'll do a show with Old Town eventually, the prop drive, that to me is like the pinnacle of prop drives. It's geared properly.
Right.
Great warranty, things like that. Super cheap parts. It's got the dry storage. There's so many things I liked about that. But that fin drive is like, like you said, the grass, the getting shallow, the being able to take it out, like it's really easy to do that. Some of them, whenever you take it out, like, and I had a Titan, whenever I lifted it up, now I've got this big ass drive right in the way. I mean, nothing against Titans, but I mean, that's a limiting factor whenever you're trying to paddle and then you've got a big drive in front of you. You take out the Mirage drive, you set it on the deck. Hopefully you've got a way, you've got it lanyard down so you don't lose it. But
I roll the dice.
You guys are hitting the nail on the head. I mean, those are like the three biggest things, you know, weeds, going shallow. I mean, those are the biggest things about the Mirage drive that kick ass. Now here's I'm going to throw in another one. We've done tug of wars at boat shows. And the Mirage drive with the turbo fins now, mind you, not just the regular Mirage drive, but the Mirage drive with the turbo fins beat every drive kayak that we went up against. It just had more pulling power. It would pull them. We would just do a tug of war and it would just pull them to the other side. So not only was it like weedless, you know, you can go super shallow by fluttering it. And if people don't know, when we say fluttering it, we're talking about pushing one pedal all the way forward and just barely working it, the drive, and that brings the fins right up against the bottom of the boat. If people aren't aware of Hobie drives and what we're talking about when we say fluttering it, where no prop drive can do that. No prop drive can handle weeds. No prop drive can handle the shallow. So it's just one of those unique drives. And since they have a patent on it, no one's competing with them
there are some people like, not to throw any other, you know, manufacturers under the bus, but they, for the regular Mirage drive, the initial one, the patent ran out. So you'll see some other companies make
version one
of it, which is not, now we have kick up fins and that's such a big deal to save the mast on it. I mean, that was just for a 180 drive that took it from like, you know, like really nice to like, this is made for kayak fishing.
And what other drive can do that? Like what other drive can you like run into a log at 4 miles an hour and not have permanent damage to your drive?
Right. Yeah. Probably none.
I mean, honestly, I'm not a good person to answer that because I'm asking the question because I don't use other drives. I mean, I'm a Hobie guy, you know, that's all I've used for years. So I'd be curious to know, you know, if someone wants to reach out back out to me, who's part of someone, another team or something, I'd love to hear what your stories are with that type of situation.
Yeah. And we really don't mean it's not to put down other brands because it seems like every brand kind of has their own thing that they do really well. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying from my experience and ones, you know, like the Native drive and the Old Town drive and now the Mirage drive, the ones that I've had for me, the way that I fish the Mirage drive, if I was going to have a prop, it'd be Old Town. But if I was in that Mirage drive, it's just, you know, and I don't even have a 360 like y'all rich folks, you know.
Like I want to go side. You go 360, you won't go back.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, like, it can be windy, and I can be fishing a shallow pocket, put the power pole down, and I can fish all around in a circle.
I love like hanging up my jig like in a dock or something. It would be so
just,
nice.
Just like move over.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, flipping.
It's nice. It changes the PA-14, which is a 14-foot long boat, from being a little cumbersome to being completely nimble. It becomes like the most nimble boat ever. And I fish with a guy who fishes out of a Outback. So, he's in a significantly shorter boat. And, you know, as soon as we get in a little current, he's always like bumping into me. He's always like getting pulled over because that 360 drive, man, you can just hold an eddy, you know, and not the boat won't move. I mean, you get so good at just barely doing the micro adjustments with that 360 drive that you can have that boat in some ridiculous situations and fish these current seams that other boats can only come up and make one cast and then they kind of get blown out of that position. It with the wind too, man. I mean, it's hard to explain to people how important that 360 drive is with keeping your boat pointed in the right direction. you know, because I can, I can be rear into the wind, I can be front into the wind, I can be side into the wind, and I can hold all those. I mean, it's just, yeah. I couldn't imagine going back. Every time I hop on my Outback and get on the river, I'm always like, gosh, man, I wish I could just, I'm always reaching over. Like, where's that 360?
I fished the pond for about an hour this afternoon in the my PA-12 that's got the 180 drive, and I was like, dang, where's my, I need my 360. I mean,
the
12-foot turns better than the 14, so it's not as bad. And plus, I didn't have a bunch of crap in there. It's amazing how nimble they are before you put all our stuff in it. It's like
I have a Boondocks runner on mine too, and that's the first time I've had it. Yeah, it's been good so far. So before we finish up on drives, can one of y'all kind of talk about? I know there was a 360 drive, and now you have the Pro Angler 14 XR. Can one of y'all talk about the differences between those two drives and what the new one has that the old one didn't?
So it's the same drive, right? The actual drive, the actual Mirage drive that you pull in and out is the same. What's changed is how the clutch is working with it. And what I mean by that is it's the part so hard to explain and without being visual with it. It's the part it's the gearing inside there. So now you can disengage that gearing and just have it be forward or reverse and not have it in the gear at all. And you can also pop it free to get it out and rotate it again to get it out, which was a big deal. So like if you ever broke a belt before and you're out in the water, what do you do? Especially if your drive is sideways, you can't pull it out through the drive well because it will bang into it because you're trying, it needs to be in line. So now they fix that so you can pop that free, align it, and get it back out if you do have problems. Those are some of the main things that were like complaints about the 360 drive that they changed. The external adjustment for the belt tension. Now, instead of having to reach inside the hole, undo a bolt that you can't see, twist a tube that you can't see either, and then retighten that bolt, now it's all external.
Right.
It's all external. I don't have one, but this is the layout for them. You know, and they've done some other upgrades too, right? So I believe they did
On the seat posts.
They put extra wide feet on the seat to fix the cracking problems they've had.
Yeah. And I mean, that should go a long way to keeping anyone from having problems. I'm sure they've done some a little bit more plastic there too. No one's officially said that, but I'm assuming since they've gone to these other extremes that they're attacking those problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to have to turn out new boats. So I'm sure that was something they definitely fixed going forward.
Yeah. I'm one of the people that happened to. I'm a heavier guy, but I'm well under the weight limit of the kayak. But I cracked underneath my seat and they gave me, within 2 weeks, I had a brand new hull. So, yeah. I mean,
they've been great about it. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have gotten brand spanking new boats, you know. So, I mean, it's a little inconvenient, but. Well, you got a brand new boat, so it's
really not. Yeah, I had a 2.5-year-old boat. I was planning on getting a new one, going to the XR maybe this year. And I got a whole new hull, so it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep this kayak this year.
Yeah.
So I have a great new kayak. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and as much as we stand up and plop down and stuff like that, I mean, we're not easy on stuff.
No. I know when I go to sit down in that seat, it's never like a gentle, just like, oh, I'm just going to sit down. And I'm like, making that cast, you know, where's my sandwich? I'm always like in a hurry, just like slamming down in it.
Yeah. And being that I'd say for me, like if you've been online and you've read anything about warranties or things like that, I can only tell you from my experience that dugout or not, because I didn't get my boat from the dugout. They're just the people that replaced it for me that I would get a Hobie 100% and not be concerned, because not only are with newer models, they're fixing the issues that they did have, but the warranty claims are very fast and they're you know, they're paying people out with new holes, so no concerns there.
Right. Yeah.
Very much customer service oriented.
Heck yeah. Well, here we go. We'll go ahead and talk about these kayaks. And this is always tough because, you know, we're trying to look at something and talk it out without people being able to see it. So if you either, if this show, if you're really into this, you can go online and watch us on YouTube and you can go there and see all the kayaks. And as we're talking about them, you'd be able to see the actual video of it.
This would be a really good show to see
on YouTube. To watch for sure. So we'll just go through all the different models. We'll start with inflatables. Jeff Little's favorite boat. So I should have had him on here for this too.
Yeah.
So first, the Mirage iTrack 9 Ultralight. Who's going in that, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty small.
I mean, that's like the throw and go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very packable.
Super packable, throw and go boat, super lightweight. I mean, you can literally put that in a trunk of a car.
Right.
Ooh, and get a canopy too. So.
Yeah, you can get a beamy top for it, which is kind of nice.
That's what I need. I sidearm cast anyway. I can do a top.
My wife, she'll go with this kayak and she'll she'll bring her. She likes to paint, so she'll bring her paint and watercolors, and she'll be out there painting. So I know she would
really.
She would really love that.
And I know people who use these boats as stand up paddle boards too.
Mm. Yeah,
like they'll take them out and not have the seat on, not take the drive, and just kind of use it as a stand up paddle board as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'd love to have a couple of them in the camper for trips when you can't really take the boat with you.
Yeah, I've been looking at that iTrek 11 a lot, man. I think that would make a really cool, just, you know, I live by a small river, the Little Miami, and it's pretty skinny, you know. I mean, there's a lot of riffles and stuff, and that would just be so easy for my wife to drive me up in the car, and I could just throw that in the car.
Right.
Shoot in the river, because I can't get her to drive my trailer. There's like no way, you know.
And, I finally got mine out right by my house. Here.
Yeah.
Cool. All the different parts of it, but yeah, it's got the Mirage drive. I guess the same seat as like the Outback or Revolution or a bunch of them do too.
It's similar. It's not the exact same seat, but it's very similar.
Okay.
Like you couldn't take one from the other, you know what I mean? It's more has to do with the feet on them and stuff.
Okay. So if you want inflatable, that's the big boy, the 11.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the longest single person one that they make.
Yeah. And a lot of people fish, you know, the river tournaments, they'll take one of those instead of take their big boat out.
Yeah. I mean, they float in like an inch of water. It's really kind of amazing how shallow they can run.
And then past that, you've got the Mirage iTrack 14 Duo. So it's really 11, but longer. It's got two seats, two Mirage drives. And then you got the Party Barge. I got to bring this up.
Yeah, this thing is just insane looking.
The Fiesta. The four-person. So it's an iTrack, but for four people, four drives. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
It's so ridiculous, man.
It really is. I've seen one in person. They're ginormous.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're massive. I was like, what in the world? Yeah, I didn't know they existed, but they're pretty stinking cool.
There's a lot of room on there.
I mean,
so much room for activities.
I'm seeing a lot of cooler room on there.
Yeah, for sure. There we go. So that's the inflatables. So the iTrack for tournament people are watching us. We're all tournament anglers. So the one, unless you're getting one for your family, it's probably the iTrack 9 Ultralight. If you want to pack one that you could pack in somewhere, and the 11, if that's that would be like the tournament one.
Yeah, I would say so. Cool. You actually have a little bit of room to actually put some gear on there on the 11. Yeah.
Okay. And then up from there, you've got the, I'm not sure what level of what price. Well, here, first you have the Passport. This is a new one that they came out with last year, where it's the rotomolded rather than the the form where they put it, the two together.
Thermoformed, yeah.
Thermoformed. There you go. I'm sorry, I couldn't think of that. But you have the Passport 10.5 and the Passport 12R. Like, what do you think the person for a kayak angler, what kayak angler would be looking at this one?
Well, it's your entry level, you know, kayak, but it's still got a couple rod holders for, you know, if you want to do like a little fun fishing or something like that.
Only $2,000 too. That price is legit.
Good price point. And,
oh yeah.
And check out the weight on it too. I can't remember the exact weight, but it's actually a really light boat as well.
Yeah. I think it was like, I had a friend who was looking at one. I thought it was like 70 pounds or something.
Should be
in the specs.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think the person who's looking for that is the guy who doesn't want to spend a whole ton of money, but wants to get into
73. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty light for a drive, a seat, a hull. I mean, that's a, you know, that's not a bad weight for a kayak like that, considering that every other kayak I own is like double that weight.
Just
That's kind of the one I was thinking about. Like, if I wanted to have a creek, like a pedal creek boat, like just a creek boat, that would be the one that I would want.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be perfect for that. And especially with the type of rudder that's on there too. It's like it's a kick up style rudder in the back. So that'd be perfect for like a creek style boat.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of people I know get it for that.
Really? No hatch, no anything like that. So it's just open. I mean, it's got bungees, secure everything down, both in the front and back wells. But yeah, pretty simple. It's got some gear track. You can put some stuff on there. Yeah. Great, inexpensive, budget-minded kayak.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stripped-down Outback.
Okay. And then, so they have the 10.5 and the 12. And then next up is the the Lynx, which I've seen a lot of people use that, like as also like Susquehanna events, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
People using the Lynx.
You know, I like the Lynx a lot because, again, it's really lightweight, but this is one that's filled full of foam and it's thermoformed, so it's not rotomolded. So hitting stuff with it, like rocks, is
right.
Just really bad idea with it. I think it, you know, I see a lot of people getting them for creeks and rivers, and then they're pulling their boats out and they're like, why is my boat dribbling? Because they punched a hole in it and the water's gotten in between the foam and the hole on them. But what it really does make is, again, this is one of those paddleboard styles too that I see people using them for paddleboards a lot as well. So it's like a double kayak and paddleboard. Right. It's light.
Yeah, I got a friend down here that he uses his all the time, and rooftops it. You know, it's really easy to pedal. I mean, he can get up some speed, and it doesn't have the turbo fins. It's got the standard fins, but it's such a light boat that it doesn't need them. I mean, it's pretty quick, and it's really easy to pedal.
68 pounds, fully rigged. That's pretty light. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to get much lighter than that.
Right. Yeah, it's super light.
And it's stable.
Like you can carry that one over your shoulder and, like, you know, mm-hmm. really, except for having to pack something and do an inflatable, that one you could really get some faraway places.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like it'd be a great Florida inshore boat.
Yeah. Yep. Get in the skinny water marshes.
Yeah, stuff where you're not pounding, you know, you're not like going through a riffle and pounding through rocks, you know, you're just going through a lot of shallow areas looking for redfish and snooks and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up, you have the Compass, and that's kind of it does seem like there's a place where some of these kind of overlap a little bit, where it's the Compass, the Revolution, the Passport. And the Outback would be the best for all those, and we'll get to that in a second. Because a lot of tournament anglers, that's their choice. But why would somebody like the – can you kind of explain who would use a Compass and the Revolution?
So the Compass, well, the Revolution is a much faster boat. You're probably not going to want to stand up in it because it's not as stable. It's a little bit narrower of a boat, but it's a much faster boat than the Compass would be. Now, the Compass, again, it's like a watered down Outback.
Okay.
But it's even more so than, well, so you start having some differences with the seats too. That's one of the things you can't see on the website. So the seats progressively get nicer. So every one of these we've talked about, when you go low to high, gets a nicer seat. And up to the Outback, and all those seats are different, and they get more comfortable. And how they get more comfortable is they have more adjustments to them, and they have more adjustability, so you can lay them back more, you can bring them up more. Some of them, the Outback has like a lumbar support, so stuff like that starts changing as well, which brings in some comfort to it.
The Revolution, like it's got a front hatch. Like you were saying, it's got a sharper bow, so more for speed. It doesn't have any rod holders in the back. And the Compass is, it has an open well in the front and the back with bungees. The front kind of has a, looks like a paddle holder slash, you know, something to hold your stuff down up there in the front compartment, but not an actual hatch. But it does have two rod holders. So I would think like the Compass being like a budget minded Outback, and the Revolution maybe a little bit more saltwater, or like a, you know, like recreation saltwater.
Recreational, and not so much for fishing. It's just for you know, having a good time kayaking.
I think it's a little bit more of a, that's all the people I see who got in the Revolution are definitely more on the recreational side.
Different rudders too. The Compass has a underneath the kayak, and the Revolution, like the Passport, has the rudder in the very back.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also there's a Mirage Compass Duo, which is for two people. So if you want to put, you know, if you have a kid and you want to put him or her up front, you can have two people in one. So that's fun too.
And that's what's neat about the Hobies is they do have a lot of the tandems or duo kayaks. You know, some companies don't have any. It's kind of neat to be able to get, you know, bring out a family member with you.
Right.
Divorce boats. I've never been in a kayak, but I've been in a canoe with my wife. And that's like, you know, if you go on a canoe trip with your wife, like that's a great thing for anybody to do with a girlfriend, to find out if you want this relationship to go further, like be in a canoe all day or do an overnight canoe trip with somebody. You find out a lot about a person. I'm sure the same way in a duo kayak would be the same.
Right.
I've seen relationships fall apart on the water before. I'll say that. I will say we went on one canoe trip with this one couple, and it was a 2-day trip. And I think during that day, they got so tired of each other, they made it a 1-day trip and just paddled all the way out. Yeah. they were done with each other.
Man. That's a long drive home.
And then next up, we got the kind of the, like, if you're not going to have a pro angler, obviously an Outback would be it. But there's a lot of people like Justin Largen, who's done well in a lot of tournaments. Nick Dyer, second place in Bassmaster Angler of the Year last year. He fished having an Outback. There's a lot of people who are really, really successful having an Outback. And that's Matt Scotch. I think he uses an Outback. So there's a lot of people that this is their primary kayak, and this is what, you know, the boat that they choose. So why would somebody choose an Outback over the pro angler?
I mean, I would think a lot of it would be depending on like how you're planning on getting it to and from the water. If you're doing a lot of, you know, putting it in the back of your truck, the Outback is definitely lighter than a pro angler. And they are a little smaller to get into some smaller areas.
Yeah. You know, for me, the big difference that I find, you know, and I have an Outback and I got a PA 14. So for me, the big difference is, you know, it's the weight, it's the speed, It's the draft. I use the Outback in a lot of situations. Rarely do I use it on big water, honestly, because I got my pro angler. But anytime I'm doing creeks or rivers, the Outback's the way to go. There's a couple spots I go to off these tributaries off the Ohio River where you got to drag the kayak back through the woods to get to, just to be able to put in. You know, there's not a launch. It's like a quarter mile drag. It's just a trail. And that's when I'll take the Outback for those situations like that. And it's stable enough to stand up on too. So you can stand up on it and fish at the same time. It's not as stable as a pro angler, but it's still a very stable kayak where you can stand up and fish.
I've always thought the Outback was more of like a saltwater. I know, Garrett, you're from the coast, but I always thought the Outback was more the ocean boat for.
Well, the thing about ocean fishing is you've got to get to the ocean, which usually involves parking lots, lots of sand, ocean. So yeah, I've dragged my PA many times all the way down the beach, and the guys in the Outbacks are having a lot easier for sure.
And does like going through in and out of the surf play into it at all with the Outback versus a pro?
I mean, I usually launch with it pretty flat, but I mean, I would imagine it probably does do a little better with the surf. It doesn't have as much, you know, bow to grab and turn around.
And what's neat too about it is that they incorporated tracks on it, which like the pro angler doesn't have. So you have the bars for any Hobie accessory you want, and then you also have tracks for anybody else's accessory that you want to possibly want to put on there.
Right.
Yeah, I've always seen, like, whenever I've seen Outbacks, they've looked super riggable, like easily, you know, like you were saying, track and a trail, just really, really easy kayak to, you know, some kayaks, they don't really lend themselves. I mean, both all the Hobies do, but some other kayaks, they're not like the most riggable boats, but Outbacks I've always seen as maybe the easiest to rig Hobie kayak.
Yeah, and it's got steering handles on either side too, so if you're a righty or a lefty, no big deal. You can take your pick. It also comes with a Guardian plate too. Now, that's one thing we didn't talk about either for the Pro Angler. Pro Angler and the Outback both come with the Guardian plates. And what the Guardian plate is for someone who isn't a Hobie person, it's a plate underneath the kayak that you attach your – and there's a picture of it right there – that you attach your fish finder transducer to. And you can raise or lower that. So you can pull that up inside the kayak if you're going through a riffle to keep it from being damaged. Or even if you forget to pull it up, if you hit something, that plate will move up very freely. So it can save your transducer. And I really like the ability to be able to pull that up when I'm going through a riffle, especially in the Outback. I mean, I'll be honest, in my pro angler, I don't even think about it. That thing's down all the time. But in my Outback, I do think about it. Like, I'm like, oh, there, that riffle's coming up. I pull up the Guardian plate, you know. And that's something that not a lot of kayaks have either. They don't even have a place to mount transducers. And so it's kind of nice that Hobie has a specific plate. Because, you know, I end up having to drill into it to put on my Garmin stuff. So eventually that plate's going to be worthless to me, and I can just replace just that plate. It's not like I'm drilling into the hull of my kayak and mounting
something. Yeah, and I use Lowrance stuff, and it's already pre-rigged to match the holes and stuff for the Lowrance, which is nice.
Wow, which is super nice, man. That's just like plug and play almost.
It really is. It's super easy.
But one of the things I really like about my pro angler is it's got that hatch, you know, that at your feet that you can put everything in there. And the Outback still has a hatch. That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like the only difference is it's just turned side or, you know, lengthways instead of sideways. It looks like it's about the same size.
It's the same hatch, the bucket.
I take the same hatch.
My pro angler and put it in there. Yeah.
Wow, that is nice. I didn't know that. I've never been in one.
And the Outback and Pro Anglers also, they also come ready for fish finders in that they come with the waterproof fittings already rigged and ready to go on them as well, which is...
That's nice. Every man, why doesn't every kayak manufacturer do that?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a really good question.
They're putting all the holes in the kayak already. I mean, you know, it seems like they could do a deal with Yak Tech or whoever else and put some in there.
Right.
Yeah, be ready to go. Especially because I remember whenever I bought my first kayak, I was so worried about drilling into that dude that, you know, I tried to do everything I could to not do it, you know.
That's the number one thing that puts a lot of people off on getting into it. Is they look at kayaks and maybe they can't afford these kayaks that are like super easy to rig, like the Outback, and then they have to drill into them, and then they're like, oh. So there's a lot to be
said. Mine's like Swiss cheese. I drill holes all over the place in mine.
Yeah, the longer you go, the more holes you drill.
Yeah, like I'm not scared of that hole. It'll be fine.
I still try not to drill too many holes in my kayak. I try to be very strategic when I'm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want holes that I'm not going to use.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't want to drill something.
Yeah. Another good thing about the Outback is you can add the motor mount attachment and you can still put a motor on the back of it. Or I know like a Louisiana Custom Kayaks, they make that dual plate where you can put, if you wanted to put both a power pole and a motor, you could still do that. Some kayaks, you know, like Old Towns, that was a negative for me on like the Big Water and the Predator and some other ones. They have the rudder right in the back where you can't put a motor on the dang thing. And that's why I initially even went to Hobie, because I couldn't put a motor on the back. So,
right.
That's one of the things I've always wondered. Why doesn't every major manufacturer who's making a fishing kayak just have it power pole ready on the back? Because that's what everyone's using. That's using that bolt pattern. So why not just have it ready? I mean, because, you know, these are fishing kayaks. Motors are here. Everybody's using motors. I still, like, am baffled when I see kayaks, and I'm like, that just came out, and it's not, like, ready to go for a motor. Why not?
Yeah, like, I could see some of the legacy kayaks, like that Predator, Big Water, how it's pretty much been the same hole for a decade. I could see why the rudder, you know, why that wouldn't change, because motors weren't a big deal whenever they first came out. But kayaks that are coming out now, if you're not like motor ready, you've made a design error.
Yeah. You're behind. Yeah, you're behind. Down. You're literally behind.
All right. Now let's move up to the big dog. And really the only difference between the Pro Angler 180 and the 360 XR is the drive. So we've already talked about that. So Pro Angler 12-14, why would you go with one over the other?
14 is, I mean, to me, is the way to go. I mean, people will do a 12 if they need to put it in the back of the truck and they don't want it quite as long, or rooftop it. I rooftop my 14 and pull a fifth wheel. So it's just a lot hanging off the front. You should see it. There's a lot hanging off the front. But you know, the 14's faster, it's more stable. I mean, it's got more storage room. I had a 12 and I've got a 14 now. I don't know why you would necessarily pick the 12 unless you needed it for storage space.
I know like Adam Reiser, and he's going to be on the show next week. He uses a 12, and so is my buddy Chuck. I think Adam likes it because for him, it's maybe more maneuverable. He says, like, back in cypress trees and things. We'll have to ask him next week.
Right.
Just a little bit less.
But he puts his in the back of his truck.
Oh, does he? Okay. Mm-hmm. That too.
Yep.
Literally, everyone I know who picks the 12, it is number one, I put it in the back of my truck, so I want a 12.
Right. Because it is a little lighter. It's what, like 20, 30 pounds lighter?
Yeah. Or it's a short person who just says, I don't need that big of a kayak. Now, the funny thing is that those people tend to put them in the back of a truck. So it's like, I think it's more the back of the truck than anything.
Right. Yeah.
Because once you use a 14, it's actually significantly faster than a 12 too, I felt like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's just something about that longer bow that's basically the same width. It just, I don't know. Maybe it's was the same in my head.
But, kayaks.
Yeah, I was trying side by side one day, and I was like, and I was rolling, and I'm just like, I'm just not going as fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we're not talking major difference. It's not like
it's not a lot
different. Yeah, very, very minimal. You know, for me, I'm a big guy, and I like to bring a lot of stuff. So everything to me is 14 is the way to go. Bigger is better, you know. And now that I put my new fish finders on, I got two fish finders on there too. All the stuff that I have to put on that boat to support the two fish finders and my two Panoptix transducers – it takes up a lot of room in the front hatch hole area where I actually had to take out my rod tubes that I never used to make room to put that stuff for my electronics because it needed a bunch of different stuff to make it work, like the network hub and you know, the fuses and just, you know, all the stuff for the GPS and the two black boxes. So for me, I couldn't fit all that stuff in a 12.
Right. Yeah. It is a little bit smaller on that front section.
Yeah. And cause that's really where the big change comes in them is that front. Yeah. It's a little bit in the back, but that front is really chopped down.
Yeah.
Two less horizontal rod holders. I'm trying to think of what other differences there are.
That's really it. I mean, you lose two rod holders. And it's a little shorter in the back and a good bit shorter in the front. I feel like the cockpit is the exact same size. It's a little more narrow on the 12 because it starts tapering down quicker. But that's about it.
I've always wondered why the 14, it seems like a lot of the, you know, like a Titan 12 or Old Town Sportsman 120 or all these other kayaks, a lot of them are like 12 foot and it's kind of the number that, you right. know, I would say this, it like the standard in our industry of tournament kayaks is probably the 12 foot boat somewhere around there. Why is it 14 instead of, why isn't it like, you know, a lot of boats would be like 10 and 12 or instead of 12 and 14. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know,
just the way the hull's designed, I guess, but yeah.
And it might've come from, you know, when these boats were originally designed, you know, they weren't making kayaks. They were making sailboats when they first came up with the Pro Angler. So maybe it has something to do with that. Maybe it has something to do that they were thinking more of open water, like out in the ocean. So they were like 14 foot, you know, let's make it really big.
Yeah. I've always wanted to put a sail on one. That'd have to be fun. Because, I mean, they all come with a sail.
Yeah. They have a little sail hole in the front.
Yeah, if you're looking at it, you've never had a Hobie, they have the sail hole on the front so you can put a sail on there. I mean, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. It's a simple one, too. It's not like you have to add all this block and tackle. It's like a simple.
Yeah, it's just
right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one side or the other, I think. That's all. That's the only options you get with it.
All right. So anything else I'm missing that people should know about the Pro Angler or an 180 or 360 XR? They do have great colors. I do like – Hobie does a really good job, especially this year with the new Dune camo. Just a lot.
That Battleship Gray.
Yeah, Battleship Gray. They do have a lot. They really stepped up. It seems like this year they really stepped up their color game, which it's always been good, but like – Mango, I'm okay with them not having that now.
Yeah. Papaya.
Papaya, that's right. It was
papaya. That's
right. Yeah.
It wasn't even yellow. It wasn't orange either. It was like in between.
No, it was.
Who was the guy that went to the shop and said, I'm here for the papaya? Not like, I'll take the papaya if I have to. Oh, the papaya is $200 less. It's on sale. You're trying to move that one. I'll take it, but not like, oh, I want that papaya.
I don't know a single person with the papaya. You know, the funny thing was that my first Hobie that when I got in the on a shop team with Strictly Sale is they gave me a yellow PA to use.
Ooh.
And man, one time I came in the back of this creek and it was spawn time, right? And it was like we had one of those late winters here. So all the fish in the lake were spawning at one time. So it was just this, they were just flooding any shallow water with beds. And when I came in there, every fish on every bed turned and looked at me. I could see them move as I moved through the creek. They were all just staring at this yellow thing coming through there.
Right.
And that moment, I was just like, never again will I use a yellow kayak, man. Because they were literally, I looked around and they looked like little sticks, you know, and you'd move the kayak a little bit and they'd all just, wherever you were, they would just follow it, man. I was just like, I can't. This isn't going to work for me.
Well, do y'all choose your kayak based on color like that or just the one that you like?
I do. I do choose really? Mine on the most natural color that I think I can find usually.
I've seen people sight, like the pros sight fishing and stuff, and, you know, they'll have like take off a certain color jacket, or like if they're sight fishing, they really, you know, get down, they believe in right. a certain color shirt or whatever else. I mean, I could see if they could see you moving, you don't want that, but they really feel like a color makes a difference. I've never bought my kayak based on color because I thought fish could do it. Fish could see it. Maybe I should.
I feel like any of the neon colors, man. Neon green, like that Kawasaki green you see sometimes.
Right.
You know, or pink, you know, those. Yeah.
That like so yellow jacket, yellow, black. I know Jackson has one of those.
Yeah, no. Black, straight black. Okay. Yeah. You know.
I got the Dune camo now, so I guess I'm okay.
Yeah, you're good, yes. Man. That's my favorite color. That Dune camo is my favorite color now.
But they don't make it. They only make it in the 180s. So,
yeah, they did that with several colors. Well, pretty much all the colors are dedicated to either 360 or 180.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that.
Oh,
ask them. Yeah, y'all are on the team. Find out for us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else? Did I miss anything with Hobie?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, the thing about Hobies they'll throw in here at the end is that they make quite a few accessories for their kayaks. So, like you were talking about the sail, they make a Bimini top for them. They make any of the fishing accessories that you can think of for them, like from holding your drinks to putting fish in a cooler, to crates, to rod holders.
They got live wells.
Yeah, live wells. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Hobie does a great job with the accessories on the back end to make the kayak the way you want it to be, to fish the way you want it to. That's one of the great things about Hobie that I like a lot about Hobie, you know, because I use a lot of their accessories. I like the H-Rail. You know, I like how it runs from the front of the PA to the back of the PA, you know, so I can put accessories wherever I want. I'm not locked into like just 6 inches of track here or 6 inches there. It's wherever you want it.
Yeah, because I end up using the whole thing.
Yeah. And on our website, they have like great videos on each one. Like I had to replace a seat, the line inside this, like the seat cord. And I had a burr in one of my, like one of the openings on it. So it cut two of them. So I kept having to replace it. Eventually they repaired the seat, but they like any accessory they have a video on it, which is really nice. You know, a lot. And that's another thing, like a lot of companies, you know, there's not a lot of support. There's great team members you can reach out to, the forums online. That's a great thing. You know, if you get like an off-brand kayak, there might be like one Facebook group. There's like four people who are trying to figure out how to rig it. Hobie, thousands of people online people have videos on it. The forum, you can answer any question you have on there. So really great support for their kayaks as well.
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, and having that media presence to do those, it, you know, it's not easy to do those videos. I mean, I don't know if you know, a lot of people haven't sat down and tried to do a video like that. And if you have, you know how hard it is to do that, man. So they put an effort into doing that stuff. And that's the thing I like too, because it's not always convenient to go to a dealer. Right. If you know, if you're traveling to, let's say, Alabama, like if I go from Ohio to Alabama, I don't know where the nearest Hobie dealer is, man. And if I need to fix something on there, I can look up those videos on my phone and fix it myself, you know, which is just like, which can be priceless.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Well, Garrett, we appreciate you being on, man. I guess we'll see you here at the Logan and Martin event. Tell everybody who you, where they can find you online, and who helps you, who helps make fishing. I cannot talk tonight. Who helps you fishing? Your sponsor.
Yeah. So, Garrett Wade Fishing. I've got the YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram. And then as far as sponsors go, Dugout Team, Hobie, Dakota Lithium, TFO Rods, Seaguar, Hobie Eyewear, and Gorilla Grip Gloves. I don't think I'm missing anybody.
TFO Rods, what's that new line that they have?
I'm using the Options series, but they got a new one, and I cannot remember the name of it.
I put you on spots, my fault. But
I looking at exactly what happens to me.
I should know. I've been looking at them online, but I've got a couple of older.
Jeremo's got a couple of those. He's on TFO, but I've been using the Option series, which is it's like a $150 price mark, and it's got like the foam grips, and I really like those. They've worked out really good.
Cool. Y'all have a lot of good team members. Jake Harshman too. Y'all have a good team. Cool. Well, man, appreciate you being on. We appreciate everybody watching, and we'll see y'all again next week. Bye, Hobie.
Yep. Sounds good. Later.